the name Leech. And for those of you that don't know, that just so happens to be my last name. He was not referring to me at all, just for clarification. I don't try and steal people's money, you know, that's not why I'm here. So anyway, I just want to thank you, New Heights Baptist Church, once again, just for this opportunity. It really is just a blessing to be here. Just the fellowship, the love. I've been longing for this moment to be back just through the semester. I've been thinking about you guys every day and praying for you every day. And I think you'd also be happy to know that when I left, a little bit of Texas went with me. Over the course of the semester, somebody was talking about Texas, but he said it so loosely. And I couldn't help, as Pastor Foster's previous message, I don't remember what message it was, but he talked about when you say Texas, you got to have some grit with it. You know, you got to say it, Texas, you know. And I felt like I needed to beat the man with a 2x4 because he was saying it so. No, I wasn't actually going to do that. But, you know, I love it here. This place is like my home. Thank you all so much. If you guys could turn to your Bibles over to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I think we're all almost there. Joshua chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. For the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and under the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for the inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let's pray and then we'll get into it. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you just once again for this time now. And Father, just for this opportunity, I'm so thankful for it. And I'm thankful just for the people here, O Lord, and just their willingness to serve you. Father, I just want to ask that you would bless this time now. I pray that you would just fill me with your spirit. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us just have hearts to hear, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How many of you have ever heard of the TV show Fear Factor? Give a raise of hands if you've heard the show Fear Factor. For those of you who haven't heard of the show, basically the idea was to help you overcome any certain type of phobias or fears that you may have. Some of the things that you would probably see people do is have to handle scorpions or be in a tank full of bugs maybe, be in a room with a snake. I couldn't handle that. I do not like snakes. I despise snakes. When I first came for the internship, when we first met Brother Curly, he showed us a picture of a copperhead he had killed. And he showed us the picture of the head. And I was thinking, that's awesome. You want to know why I thought that was awesome? Because it was a dead snake. The thing was dead. The only type of good snake around here is a dead snake. In 2013, I had to look up some of the top fears. In 2013, I found this. There are 10 fears that everybody had was this. The fear of spiders. Number 2 was snakes. You can find me in that category. Number 3, heights. 4, a fear of situations. You have a fear where you're not able to call out for help or you're embarrassed to call out for help. Number 5 was the fear of dogs. 6 was thunderstorms. 7 was small spaces. 8 was the fear of germs. 9 was flying. And then, of course, 10 was holes. Now, I'm going to fear a hole if I know there's a snake in it, okay? I'm going to be honest. But then I looked up, me and Brother Gabe were talking after I had practiced, and we looked up the top 10 fears of all time. And I think a lot of us can probably fall into these categories. Number one was change. I think we all have a tendency to fear change, right? You know, we just don't know what's coming. We're kind of anxious. How about this? Number two was the fear of loneliness. Number three was failure. You know, we have a fear to fail others around us. I have an overcoming fear to fail pastor when I'm preaching, especially when we're about to practice. I'm afraid that I'm going to get my hide nailed to the wall. Number four, rejection. Number five, uncertainty. Number six, getting hurt. Seven, how about inadequacy? We have a fear to feel inadequate to what maybe God has called us to do or what somebody else may be asking for us to do. How about this one, the loss of freedom? I think in our day and age, that rings true for us. We're afraid we're going to lose our freedom, the freedom to worship, being judged, and just the overall general sense, something bad happening. I think those are fears that we can all relate to some degree. I want to ask this question tonight. What fear is holding you back from success from serving God? What do you allow to overcome your faith? Because let's be honest, I think we can all agree with the statement, fear should not trump our faith. But yet so often, fear does trump our faith. And tonight, I want to look at really just the life of Joshua, just the setting stages of his life in the book. If you look there, in verse 1, it talks about the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord that came. It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Moses, or the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Joshua was there with Moses through it all. Can I say it this way? He knew about his call in Midian. I mean, if you think about it, Moses was probably scared. Lord, you're calling me back to Egypt. You realize that they'll kill me if I go back, right? Joshua saw that. He also saw Moses stand up against Pharaoh and watch the 10 plagues come forth. He watched him in the wilderness as he was leading the stubborn and stiff-necked people of Israel. He watched Korah fall into a hole because they decided to rebel against Moses' authority. He watched the disease that came through and watched as Moses had to lift up the snake to help cure everybody. I could imagine this way. Joshua sitting on a rock. And he's sitting there. He probably has the law in front of him, and he's probably going through it. And he's looking at the River Jordan, because he knows what God has called him to do, and he's probably thinking, Lord, I'm not like Moses. I'm not like that meek and mighty man that he was. I can't lead Israel the way he was. I saw what he went through. I was just a servant to him. But God saw something more. He saw a man who could take Israel, not just over the Jordan, but he could take the people to conquer Jericho and Ai. Amen. He saw the victories that lied ahead. He didn't see the inadequacies. He saw the victory. And if you'll notice, there's a lot of encouragement that we find here when it comes to Joshua. Just looking there in verse 2, verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. He's taking him back to Moses and the promises that he made for the people. They were going to get the land. And God wanted to use Joshua to do it. And verse 4 is really just the setting boundaries of what their land was going to be like. From the Lebanon and the great river, the river Euphrates, the great sea that would have been before, and the setting of the sun. Joshua, that's the territory, and you're going to take it. I'm going to use you to do my will. And yeah, he may have had thoughts of failure, inadequacy, but he had something much, much greater. Amen? He had a God who was willing to serve. He was willing to give him the victory. He just needed to take it. If he's willing to do that for Joshua, what makes you think that he doesn't want to do it for you?
Amen.
What makes you think that the God of the Old Testament has stopped working today? What makes you think that the God of the New Testament has stopped today? I don't know about you, but I hear great work being done over in Sri Lanka, in Panama. And God wants to do a great work here in Wiley, Texas, here in the United States. He wants to do a great work in the world. He wants to see souls saved and for them to go out and do his will, to do the work of the ministry. And if you'll take note there, in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not, can you say those words with me? I will not what? Fail thee. And what's the next word? Nor forsake thee. He wasn't going to let Joshua go over the Jordan and be like, all right, it's up to you now. Good luck. No, he was going to be there in Jericho and in Ai. He was going to be there the next time he needed to be there. And the next time. He never left. And he won't leave you. In the next words we see, he says this three times. Be strong and of a good courage. When he says the word be strong there, it's more of this idea. Be firm. Be settled. Joshua, you need to be firm in what I'm about to tell you. You need to look back at this moment right here as you're looking over the Jordan, because there's probably going to be some scary times ahead, but you need to remember, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. You're going to get the victory. But it's not just that. He also says this, be strong and very courageous. If you look there just in verse 6, he says, verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. He's putting an emphasis right here. This is the only time we really see it, the three times he says it. Because this is the most important thing right here. Because if Joshua doesn't get this right, there's no use. And he says it following afterward, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Joshua couldn't pick and choose certain pieces that he wanted and toss the rest aside. No, he needed to follow the whole thing. There are people today who don't want to follow the 66 books. They take it and be like, well, I know the Bible talks about baptism, but I'm going to toss that out. Or I know what the Bible says about being holy, but I don't think that applies to my life. Does not the whole thing apply to us? Last time I checked, this was the final authority, not what you think is. Joshua needed to be firm in the law. Can I say it this way? He needed to be firm in his relationship with God. Where is your relationship tonight with him? How is it looking tonight? Because if you'll notice, he makes the statement following that, with Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. How many of you have driven in mountains before? I see pastor's hands high and raised up there after he told us about this morning. But when you're driving, the first time I ever drove in the mountains was through Kentucky into Virginia. And let me tell you, it was a beautiful time. I loved it. I felt kind of like I was on a roller coaster going up the hills and down the hills. We won't talk about how fast I was going, but I loved every second of it. And I remember this very vividly. As I was driving into Kentucky, getting into Virginia, I remember there was this canyon, and there was a mountain over here, and there was like this little canyon over here, and you could see kind of water at the bottom. You know, if I were to veer off to the left, there's a possibility of me going into traffic, and if I don't get hit by traffic, I'm certainly going off that edge. And then what's going to happen? I'm going to get hurt, probably die. And to the right, I remember to the right of me, there was like this just giant gray wall. Well, if I were to crash into the right side, I'm going to damage the car pretty bad, and I'm also probably going to get badly hurt. That's why it's so vital that, you know, you stick to where your lane's at. It's the same thing in life. We got to stick to the lane that we're in. We can't veer off to the left for what we think is beautiful. And we can't veer off to the right. And yes, sometimes that means, if for driving into the mountains, sometimes you can't see the road clearly. Because you're going uphill, you don't know what's coming next. Or there's this turn, and you don't know what's going on. I remember as I was driving up one of the hills, there was this sharp turn that came out of nowhere, and I had to slam on my brakes because I was going 60 when I shouldn't have been going 40. We need to stick to what the law has told us. We need to stick to what the word has told us. It's so vital. It's so important. But there's another word that I want us to take a look at real quick, going back in verse 7. He says this, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. The word observe there would kind of be to watch closely. Another way we could probably say it is to guard, to protect. One word that I actually found in there that I thought was actually kind of interesting was to cling to. Have you ever dealt with a clingy person before? I'm gonna rat on myself here. When I was like 5 or 6, I was very clingy to my mother. Like whenever we went, I was like by her side. She never had to hold my hand. I was by her side because I was afraid of everything. Like there would be a person, a friend that would come up and shake my mom's hand, and my mom would tell me to shake his hand, and I'd be like, uh-uh. I go right behind her, like, no, thank you. I cling to my mom. Hey, we got to do the same thing when it comes to God. We got to cling to him. We got to cling to his word. And you know what? I'm thankful that God doesn't push us away when we're clingy. Amen. I'm thankful that God doesn't tell us to go away. But instead, he opens his arms and says, come. We have a lot of fears. I think we all do when it comes to life. We can be afraid to what God has called us to do. But let us not forget that he was there with Joshua, and so he'll be there with us. I love just verse 9, because I really just sense the compassion of God here. He says this, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good for a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God will be with thee whithersoever thou goest. I'm going to be with you, Joshua. Hey, you stick to me, you stick to my word, and I will be with you. Amen. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will be there every moment. And to the fears that we have in this life, because we all have them, you know, we could be afraid to witness to a coworker. You could say that you have a liberal boss and that some of the people that you're around are part of the LGBTQ community. That may be true. But the Bible tells us to witness to them nonetheless. And you might be afraid to lose your job, but can I tell you this? You cling to God. Amen. Hey, kids, when you have friends that are peer pressuring you to disobey your parents, you cling to the word and you cling to what your parents have told you. To the people at their jobs, when people are persecuting you to go against what God's word has told you clearly, you cling to the word. You don't forsake what God has told you to be true. Amen. To the husbands, to the families that you have to lead, you might be going through some tumbling times, but can I tell you this? Cling to the word. And wives, you cling to the word too, because they need help. And to those people who might be having health problems and personal issues, say it with me, cling to the word. Because let me say it this way, a walk with God is a walk in victory. A walk with God is a walk in victory. Don't let your faith, or I'm sorry, don't let your fear trump your faith. Have a walk with God, and you'll have a walk in victory. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for this time now and for this church once again. Lord, I just want to pray that you would just do a work in our hearts and lives, Lord. And for any fear that we may have, I pray that you'd help us just to lay it at your altar, Lord. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to go out and mightily serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would.